I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 20, the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And we're looking at verse 24. John 20, verses 24 through 31. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, but yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. If I were to mention to you the name Thomas, most of you would probably think, oh yes, you mean doubting Thomas. That seems to be an appellation, a name that has kind of stuck with the Apostle Thomas. Doubting Thomas. You know, we have a tendency to do what our message title infers. And you know what the title is? Typecasting. We have a tendency to typecast people. We have a tendency to typecast Doubting Thomas by that name, don't we? How would you like to be known and remembered for your weakest moment? Think about it. Would you like that? For your weakest moment, it to be brought up constantly. Well, we've been studying Hebrews 11. What do you think Hebrews 11 ought to remind us about? Grace. It ought to remind us that our sins and iniquities are not brought up against us continually, but rather Hebrews 11 is a picture of faith and grace under the new covenant. And how many times and how many snapshot events can we get of Samson or of Abraham or of Sarah that could very well have forged their name in history? Well, the Apostle Thomas, the word Thomas here, you'll notice in our text, the word Thomas called Didymus, the word Didymus means twin. He was absent when the risen Lord appeared to the other disciples on the evening of the resurrection day. And he said, unless I see for myself, I will not believe. And yet, when he saw him, what were his words? Look at verse 28. My Lord and my God. Well, let's take a look just for a minute at this matter of doubting. Were the other disciples ever guilty of doubting, or was it just Thomas that deserves to have this name, Doubting Thomas? Well, all four of the Gospels tell us of the disciples' reaction to the news that Jesus had risen from the dead. And you know what? It was taken as not immediate belief on their part. Look at John chapter 20, which you are in that chapter already. But look at John chapter 20 and verse 2. Here Mary Magdalene thinks that Jesus' tomb is empty because his body has been taken, she says. Look at verse 2 of John 20. Then she runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have led him. So here we have Mary Magdalene thinking that Jesus' tomb is empty because the body's been stolen. Take a look at Luke chapter 24 and verse 11. Luke 24 and verse 11, Mary tells the disciples about Jesus' resurrection, and what do they think? It's idle tales, and they don't believe. It says, And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So you see, doubt goes a little bit beyond just Thomas all of a sudden, doesn't it? Look at Matthew 28. Let's go back to Matthew 28 and verse 17. Here, the Word of God says that when they saw Jesus, they worshipped, but some of the 11 doubted. That's interesting. Matthew 28, 17. Then, if you look at Mark, the next book over to the end, Mark 16 and verse 14, the Bible tells us afterward, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they sat at meat. And what did he do? He upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So at least we can say that Thomas is in good company. What do you think? Too bad it stuck with him. But he's in good company when you've got the unbelief. Then you remember the well-known passage. I probably believe that at one time or another, all of the elders have preached on the disciples on the road to Emmaus. But you remember the words of Jesus in verse 25 to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24, 25, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. But you know, maybe I might be able to convince you to minimize the bad rap that we've given to Thomas. First of all, by realizing that all of the disciples doubted at one time or another in one way, and so have you. When you have failed, and I have failed, to live in light of our resurrected Savior. But you know, Thomas expressed courage on occasions when the other disciples did not. That's interesting. For instance, take a look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And all of us remember certainly the raising of Lazarus in John chapter 11. But look at verse 16. Here the Word of God says that Jesus gets word that a dear friend of theirs, Lazarus, has fallen ill. And Jesus indicates that he should go to see him. The disciples are hesitant. They remind him that there are all kinds of religious officials that are out to get him. There's a contract out for his life. And they express fear. Don't go. But in verse 16, it's Thomas that has the intestinal fortitude to say, Let us also go to die with him. John 11, 16. Maybe we can give Thomas a little credit for courage. Maybe we ought to call him Courageous Thomas here. If we want to stick names on people, that would be a good thing to say. Then, John chapter 14. John chapter 14. By the way, have you ever been in a lecture? Maybe it's you're selling insurance and you're involved in a continuous education class. Or you're a paramedic or a police officer and you're taking some extended training. And have you ever noticed that a lot of times the professor's talking and you know that the people have questions. But there's one student in the class that raises his hand and asks the question that everybody else is wondering about. But he's the only guy that's got the guts to ask it. And you're glad that he asked it because you didn't want to raise your hand because you were afraid that you would look like a doofus and sound like a doofus. So he took the heat and he was willing to do it. Well, you know, in John chapter 14 and verse 5, I think that that's kind of like what Thomas did for us. Here, Thomas displays a little bit of courage in this event. It's Thomas who wasn't too proud to humble himself by asking this question when Jesus was talking about his Father's house having many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself. Thomas asked the question that probably all of the other disciples were wondering about. But he was not too proud to humble himself to ask the question. So maybe we ought to call him humble Thomas rather than doubting Thomas. Or courageous Thomas. That would be good. Master, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? And of course, praise the Lord for the answer of Jesus. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A closing comment a couple of centuries later, the testimony of tradition is that Thomas took the gospel all the way to India. And he was run through by Indian priests with a lance. And you can go in the city of Chennai, India, in southern India, on the east coast. Chennai, India, you can go and visit his tomb. And as you see it, if you have the opportunity on the internet to visit that site, which you can see, there's a banner across there. And you know what it says? My Lord and my God. Not doubting Thomas. And I like that remembrance, that appellation much more. That's what he ought to be known for. The one who gave what I would consider one of the strongest attestations to the deity of Christ. If there's any competing verse, it would be Peter when he said in Matthew 16, you are the Son of the living God, when he gave his confession. But to me, my Lord and my God is even stronger. But the point is, that's what he's known for in India. So maybe we might consider doing that. So I just want to encourage you with this, that maybe you might be a little more hesitant to nail Thomas's carcass to the wall. Maybe we might have a tendency to say, you know what? That could be me. And I'm glad that the Lord reminds us, as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And that's the kind of Savior we're about to fellowship with in prayer tonight. And we thank the Lord for his grace and his forgiveness. And we can look to him. We are accepted in the Beloved. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Thomas. Lord, he was out there in John 21 with the other disciples fishing. Lord, you told them, come and dine, and you restored them. It just wasn't Peter, but Lord, he was cut out of the same bolt of cloth that we are. Help us, Lord, to keep that in mind when we're tempted to be so censorious and hyper-spiritual in criticizing others. Help us to realize that, Lord, if you would mark iniquities, none of us would stand. Thank you for your grace and love. Thank you, Lord, for the Heroes Hall of Fame. And, Lord, that they were all there, not because they were the greatest or the most impeccable, but, Lord, by an act of grace that you inscripturated them in that wonderful passage of Scripture. Thank you, Father, that our salvation is all of grace. And we look to you now, Father, and we thank you for our privilege of gathering to pray for the many that are in need, both here as well as abroad. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.